This is Voices of Better Medicine, supported by Northwestern Medicine, and I'm Danny D, here today with Dr. Caitlin O'Steppen, head and neck surgeon at Northwestern Medicine. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. So we're actually touching on chronic sinusitis. Each year, more than 28 million people are diagnosed with it in the U.S. So what defines it?
So chronic sinusitis can be broadly defined as an inflammatory disorder of the sinuses and lining of the nasal passages that lasts specifically for 12 weeks or longer.
And if a patient does develop chronic sinusitis, what symptoms would they feel?
So common symptoms of chronic sinusitis include nasal congestion or blockage, facial pain, pressure, or fullness. This is often around the area of the forehead, eyes, or cheeks. Persistent nasal drainage, or what we call post-nasal drip. That's mucus coming from the nose or dripping down the back of the throat. Patients can also experience reduced or lost sense of smell. These are kind of the main symptoms that we focus on, but other potential symptoms could include ear pain, fatigue, headache, among others.
So Dr. Steppen, it seems like some of those symptoms can be compared to a sinus infection. How does chronic sinusitis differ?
So chronic sinusitis symptoms, by definition, last for 12 weeks or longer, whereas acute sinus infections typically resolve much more quickly and are often linked to a recent cold. So fever, for instance, is not as common in chronic sinusitis, but is more typical in an acute sinus infection. And then as well, things like facial pain and pressure, you know, if those are seen in an acute sinus infection, these are often more severe or localized pain. Whereas in chronic sinusitis, these symptoms can tend to be a little bit milder and more persistent over time.
What causes chronic sinusitis? Are there any risk factors?
Yes. Chronic sinusitis is a little tricky in that it's multifactorial, meaning there are many things that can potentially contribute to chronic sinusitis, and those factors can actually be quite different across patients. Main contributing factors include inflammatory causes, things like allergies or environmental irritants such as smoke or pollution. There could be an infectious component. This could either be bacterial or fungal infections. But just to clarify with, you know, acute sinus infections, you know, typically there is an obvious infectious cause. But when we see this chronic sinusitis, it's really more of this kind of prolonged inflammation, and you may or may not have an infectious component on top of that. Other risk factors include things like a weakened immune system, which could be due to several reasons, you know, diabetes, you could be on immunosuppressive therapies such as chemotherapy, things like cystic fibrosis, which leads to thicker mucus and impaired clearance of that mucus could contribute. And then, as I mentioned, things like smoking or exposure to air pollution could be risks.
Thank you so much for that. And I am Danny D with Voices of Better Medicine, supported by Northwestern Medicine. I am here today with Dr. Caitlin O'Steppen, and we're touching on chronic sinusitis. Now, we've learned about its causes and the risk factors. So let's talk treatment options. What's available, surgical and non-surgical?
So treatment could look different for different patients. Most people are treated primarily with medications, although sometimes patients do need surgery. And even after surgery, oftentimes medications are used to control that inflammation long-term. So common treatments include things like nasal saline irrigations, or if you've heard of the neti pot, you know, something like that. Intranasal steroids are often used. These are steroids that are delivered inside the nose. There are several different ways to do this. And sometimes even steroid in the form of a pill is recommended. Medications such as leukotriene modifiers, such as Singulair, can be helpful in certain groups of patients, specifically those with asthma who may also have polyps. Antibiotics are sometimes recommended. And then something called biologic therapies or monoclonal antibodies are now an option for, you know, more severe cases. If medical therapy fails, then oftentimes, you know, surgery will be offered. We call this endoscopic sinus surgery typically. This is a minimally invasive approach where someone would use an endoscope to open up those blocked sinus pathways, remove polyps or any, you know, correct any other structural issues. And surgery oftentimes improves that drainage and then postoperatively allows medications to reach the sinuses more effectively.
Wow, Dr. O'Stefan, a lot of great information today. As someone who's been dealing with sinus issues the last couple of weeks, this has definitely been helpful. And thank you so much again.
Thank you.
This was Voices of Better Medicine, supported by Northwestern Medicine. To learn more, go to nm.org.